welcome back to the Game of Thrones recap show here on Variety Radio Online, and we're getting ready to talk about last night's episode of Game of Thrones titled The Door, and a lot of things happened. So we've got actually a surprise guest member with us tonight, and we had a little case of mistaken identity before we got on the phone. I thought I was talking to Jess. I was not, and we just figured that out. So, Jess, how are you doing tonight, since I thought I was talking to you earlier?
Hodor! I'm doing okay. I'm still getting over it. We're going to wait, though. We're going to wait to talk about that whole section until the end, because there's a lot that we have add-on content that we were supposed to talk about this week anyway, but directly impacts that last scene. And I'm so happy that a very special fan is joining us today. We have a fan guest. Like we said before, we really do like to talk with our fans and talk with other people who love to talk Game of Thrones. And we did suggest that if you contacted us, that we would have fans on there. I want to welcome to Variety Radio Online a friend of mine who has been commenting about all of the Game of Thrones feels memes that I've been posting. And I finally said to her, you know what? You obviously enjoy this so much. Why don't you come on and talk to us about the show from your perspective? So I want to welcome my friend Rochelle. Hey, Rochelle, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. Wow, I don't think I sound anything like her, but thank you.
You know what? I was just answering the phone, and I was like, this number, I don't remember numbers. So,
Francis, like, I just work here.
I just answer the phones. I don't memorize numbers. I didn't know. I'm sitting here talking like she knows exactly what I'm trying to say. I feel bad.
You know, I think I followed pretty well.
I think you did. I didn't notice at all. I was like, okay, you have the IMDb summary? Yeah, okay, I can get it. Like, that's what it was. I just
nice.
Threw you around
nice.
To the fire. But you survived, so yay.
You passed the test.
You did?
So
oh, good.
I actually went back, and I know last episode, I said that I hated watching the show and then writing the notes. But there were a couple of things that I remember saying that I wanted to remember and write down. So I actually went back today, and I watched the episode, and then took notes on my notepad. So I've got it all: reactions and things that I thought and things that I said out loud and things like that. So I have some of those if we need to refer to them. But I made sure to leave the whole Bran Hodor storyline to the end because we have two things that we need to discuss regarding that. So before we get into this, I just want to let everybody know who hasn't watched the episode from last night that this is your opportunity to turn the radio down, to shut it off, to plug your ears, because we will be talking major, major spoilers. So this is your chance. Spoiler alert. We're giving you plenty of time to shut this off. By listening to this, you are now privy to all of the spoilers of the episode. You are in agreement, tacit agreement. We can move along.
Yes. They've had their chance. You've officially just done it for yourself now, if you're still here. So.
Right. Well, we got a little slap on the hand today about posting a picture that had nothing to do with revealing any of the spoilers. Just happened to be a picture of Hodor, but didn't say anything. And apparently, the West Coast got very upset that we posted a picture of Hodor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're gonna have to
apologize.
We do apologize.
Yes.
However, I feel it needs to be said there were no spoilers in the post, but now that it's been explained, I can see how it may have been interpreted that way. But we will just watch ourselves from now on. Promise.
Right. So what I did, and I'm going to try not to run the whole show, but I did have a little bit of an outline. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw out characters and situations, and when we can talk about that, if that's okay with you guys.
Good with me.
Sounds good.
All right, so I'm going to try and go in order according to character as opposed to jumping around like we try not to do.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing on my list I have is Sansa and Littlefinger and Sansa and Jon. And the first note that I have, and the one and only note that I have, is Sansa is not having it.
God bless.
Discuss.
Mm-hmm. I appreciated that. I for sure loved that. Because it was the opening scene, I think, right? With her and Littlefinger?
Mm-hmm.
Fairly certain it was. Great scene. Loved it. Because everybody has been hating on Sansa for so long. And I'm like, you guys just wait. She's playing a different kind of game.
Mm-hmm. No,
Rochelle, and she took Baelish totally by surprise. He did not expect her to, one, escape, and two, know exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a really good point. He didn't expect that, and he also didn't expect her to not want to see him.
Right.
That's
true.
It's a huge misstep for him. It's the first time we've really seen him make a mistake, and I don't think he's going to handle it well.
Mm-mm.
He tried. I mean, he did a good job of being deferent. But, I mean, she called his ass on it. Every time he tried to make an excuse, she was like, you want to protect me? You took me away from people who abused me and murdered my family, and then you gave me to monsters who abused me and murdered my family. Like, you just need to go back to wherever you came from and stay there, because I don't ever want to see you again. And she's totally justified. Does anybody on this phone call think that she is not justified?
Hell no, I don't think she's not justified. She's 100% justified.
Do you guys think that she went far enough? Do you think that she should have given him more of a tongue lashing besides basically making him name off the things that Ramsay Snow did to her?
That's a good question.
Yes. I don't know, because I feel like what she said was effective enough to get him to realize that he messed up big time. I guess if she wanted to go farther than that, that was kind of up to her discretion. But I think what she did was effective enough.
And I also think it was measured. I think she knows that he has a very strong army behind him, and she might want that one day, so she still needs a connection to her cousin.
Right. That's true.
That's a very good point. We need to have you on more often.
Yes. I like her.
Yeah, we
I just like
her.
To think that Sansa is way smarter than everyone gives her credit for.
You know, I've been
She's
saying
learning.
That seasons, yeah. man, because granted, yes, she was a total brat in the early seasons. We all can acknowledge that. But she's done a lot of growing up. So I think that now people are starting to realize that. And I'm like, hey, guys, I've been saying that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She was a bratty teenager.
Yeah, she absolutely was. What I did like in this episode, specifically from her, and you can see how she's really, really come into her own, when she says the line, I can still feel what he did to me, and then she clarifies it by saying, and not in the, I can still, my poor little heart, I can still feel it. I can actually still feel. Like, that was the moment where I was like, she is just not having it with Baelish. That is not happening.
I loved that line, too, because a lot of people still see her as, like, that little girl that, like, was in the first few seasons who was just, like, oh, so in love with Joffrey and so naive. So I love that they put that line in there. It was necessary.
Yeah. I was actually waiting for her to swing her head around and snap her fingers when she said it.
Yes.
Okay. So do we need to talk about anything else having to do with Baelish, that scene?
I don't think that.
I mean, he does tell her. Yeah. He does tell her that Brendan the Blackfish, her uncle, has basically taken Tully over again, and he has an army, and he'll be behind her, and that the Vale wants to be behind her too. But she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. She sends him home. But then the second point I have here is the scene with Sansa and Jon, Brienne and the whole group, talking about the strategic aspects of taking Winterfell back. And first note I have here is, look at Sansa playing the Game of Thrones. Also,
yes.
Why do people keep making, right? And then I have here, also, why do people keep mentioning that Sansa and Jon are half-siblings? And there's a thing behind that, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Baelish says it, and then Davos says it, that, mm-hmm. yeah, he doesn't have the Stark name, and then she makes the comment, I do. And they all kind of look at her in it for a moment, and it was kind of a weird look. And I couldn't determine what it was. And I think I've been influenced by my coworker, Natalie, who I'm going to call out on the air right now, who for some reason wants Jon and Sansa to get together. And I was like, they're related in
mm-hmm.
a way that is not acceptable.
Yeah.
But technically
yeah,
they could just be first cousins, and technically, Edgar Allan Poe married his first cousin. So it can be done. And the Targaryens do interbreed. But mm-hmm. I think going the whole Cersei-Jaime route is a little too far twice in one storyline. But
mm-hmm.
it did seem odd. And it did give Sansa an opportunity to say, to really start playing the Game of Thrones and say, he doesn't have the Stark name, but I sure shit do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think that's what that look really was everybody was like, whoa, she's actually going to come out swinging with this one.
Yes.
And I think that was a little bit of a mixed bag too, because she needs Jon on her side. You know, he is her brother and she does, you know, love him in, you know, the sense that they grew up together. But at the same time, it's a very sore point for Jon to constantly have heard Sansa say throughout his entire life that she was a Stark and he wasn't. So my guess is that she actually backpedaled a little bit, saying that Jon was as much a Stark as Ramsay was a Bolton. So she backpedaled a bit, and I think that was her sort of feeling out exactly the safe place to stand, where she established that she could be Queen of the North, but also established that Jon Snow is a very important part of that movement.
Right.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question. One of the ones that I wrote down, why does Sansa lie to Jon? Because Brienne calls her on it later on and says, well, if you trust him so much, why did you lie to him about where you heard about Brendan? And then, it cuts. So you don't know why she lied to him. What do you guys think? Why do you think she lied to him?
You know, I don't think she knows. I don't think she knows why she lied to him. I think that she has a lot going on in her head, and she's just been crushed by, you know, realizing that Baelish basically betrayed her. So I think she's a little bit cautious and isn't quite realizing that she's as cautious as she is.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What do you think, Brenty?
I think that on some level, yeah, it's probably that maybe she doesn't quite realize it yet. But what I think it could be is maybe because for so long when she was stuck at Winterfell with the Boltons, she did not have any control over what happened to her, because she had to stay safe and not try anything. So I think that now that she has a little bit more freedom, she kind of wants to keep things to herself at first, instead of going right into trusting people, because she trusted Littlefinger, and look what happened then. So I think maybe on some level she wants to keep some of her sources to herself and not just lay all her cards out on the table yet.
I tend to agree
really
with both of you.
Mm.
Yeah. I agree with both of you. I think she goes a little farther, though. I think it's because she knows that she'd have to tell Jon that she met with Baelish. and that he's backing them also, and she doesn't want him involved.
That's a good point, too.
Interesting, yeah.
Everybody brought their A game tonight. I like this.
I tried. There was too much stuff to talk about. I was like, there's no way that we're going to be able to like meander through this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's another question. Oh, not a question, comment. More looks from Tormund and Brienne.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
The memes are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he looks,
God,
like, he
so
looks
good.
At her like she is an actual angel.
Yes.
Yes.
And at the same time, like, he's trying to figure out how to steal her without dying.
I love that.
God.
That is so true. Yeah, that was just fantastic. So do we want to take bets? How long is it going to be before Tormund actually confronts her? Do you think it's going to happen in the next episode or in the episode after?
The episode after, because she's going to be down with the Tullys next episode.
Okay, fair enough. And then the last thing I have for Sansa and Jon was, one, I love her dress, and two, it was so funny. She's like, do you like my dress? And he's like, I like the wolf fit. Jon thing, like such a guy thing to say.
Such a guy thing. She's just like, look what I did. She's like, I like the pattern.
Uh-huh. I like the wolf. But also how sweet it was for her to make a cape just like her father's for Jon to even further that connection between them and basically say, you may not have the name Snow, but to me, you're Stark. And I think it really, really, truly touched him the way he said thank you to her. It really resonated with him, I think. But like I said, my friend Natalie totally has like pushed me over the edge now because I'm like, they're not going to do that, right? They're not going to make them a couple. And then I was like, no, this is brotherly and sisterly love. And then she does something and I'm like, are you trying to, what's going on here? I'm not rocking the Jon and Sansa thing. I don't want them to get together. I want them to be like this badass duo.
Yeah, I don't want it in that way. I like it in the familial way. The real familial way, not the not the Jamie Cersei familial way.
Right. So,
yeah,
what do you think?
Just because, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I think that because you have been tainted by your coworker, that you're seeing it, because I don't see any of that.
See, now, I don't think I would have seen it until she said something, and now I feel like, damn it, Natalie, you should have kept your mouth shut.
Well, that's true. Once somebody says something, you can't not think about it. But I think the only time I got that vibe was a little bit when she said the whole, you know, I'm a Stark line. I got that kind of a little bit when they were looking at her like that. That's the only time
weird,
that I got that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was what I was thinking when she said it. And then at the end, I was like, oh, that's so sweet. She made, you know, just like her. But she keeps referring to him, to Ned Stark as our father. And I think that's where it puts it back into perspective. And I think... I think maybe that's where people could have gone with that first scene when she says, but my name is Stark. But then she kind of bangs it right back into perspective by saying our father at the end, like just like our father war. So I think that we're all still in the safe realm of familiar love as opposed to keeping it in the family type love.
Oh, goodness.
Anything else you guys want to talk about regarding Sansa and Jon or Sansa and Littlefinger or that whole scene, Sansa and Brienne?
Can we just talk about how Brienne was basically the audience when she said that Jon was very nice but a bit sulky?
Yes.
No, what did she say? She said a bit Broody.
I remember brooding.
She said brooding.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He's a bit brooding. She
accurate.
Came like this close to saying he's a bit emo.
Yes. A little emo, but.
Actually, I think Ramsay's a little bit more emo than John is.
Oh, God, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. yeah, I have to agree. I did love that line. I giggled on that. But, I mean, for the most part, Brienne's pretty much just the audience during this whole episode. She's been the voice of reason, almost from the mm-hmm. audience perspective, and she's been the observer. And she's also not wrong. What's that?
Oh, I just thought that was a brilliant choice.
Yeah. Well, of course. I did think she wasn't wrong, though, when she was saying that she felt unsure about leaving her with Davos and Melisandre, because, mm-hmm. you know, they were so quick to anoint Stannis, and then as soon as he was defeated, they were moving on to the next person. So she feels that they're a bit disingenuous and self-serving. And I don't know so much for Davos's side of things, but Melisandre, I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the reference, she makes that reference, and that guy with the beard.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's so going to happen. It's going to be epic.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. So moving along, let's talk about Arya.
Yes, we did get Arya this week.
Right. So I do have a note here that says, man, Arya is trying so hard, but she just cannot beat the girl with no name. And in quotations, it says here, you'll never be one of us, Lady Stark. And I'm just going to, this is one long run-on sentence. And Jaqen H'Kar agrees, there has never been someone of noble blood who has become one of the faceless ones. What did you guys think about that whole fight scene? What did you think about the scene afterwards where Jaqen H'Kar basically does say she has a point?
Right. She's definitely trying hard. Feel bad for the girl. She's doing everything she can. But even we saw, like, when she was out in Braavos and, like, she saw the little play thing, like, you could see it on her face that she still can't completely let go of who she used to be. So, I mean, she does have a point.
But should she let go to be a member of a faceless hit group?
Yes. I'm sorry.
I mean, they're basically, they're glorified assassins who hide themselves behind religion.
True.
But they're badasses.
Oh, no, they're badass. They are awesome. Don't mistake me. They are awesome. But I don't know if that's something that, you know, Arya can really get behind. Because, you know, she has her kill list, but everyone on her list was evil in some way, or she perceived them as evil. I don't know if she has it in her to kill somebody just because she was given the money to do so.
Well, she wasn't given the money to do so. They have to pay price to the temple, and then
right.
they get their orders that way. So she's following orders of Jaqen H'Kar because she's being told. You know, the faceless ones actually remind me, oh God, I'm going to get beaten up like so bad over this.
Oh God,
they kind
what?
Of remind me of Buddhist monks. You know, like the whole reasoning behind it, and like, you know, she's kind of going through the whole grasshopper, you know, kung fu type learning where you learn by doing and you learn by, you know, you learn by addressing the questions, like that whole scene where Jaqen H'Kar gives her the vial. She goes out, she sees the play, and she comes and she sees the woman, and then she she comes back and she says, she seems like a nice lady. And he starts asking her questions like, does death pass over everyone who's good and only takes the bad? And she's kind of getting, that's kind of getting absorbed into, and she's like, no. And you can see the realization on her face, like, huh. And he's like, he's putting it into perspective with her, is that, you know, we're giving them a gift, but you can't pick and choose. You just have to do. Like, it's kind of like Yoda and the Buddha. It's just, except for without all the violence. Like the anti-Buddha. Talking, do you guys have any idea what I'm talking about, or do I, am I just an idiot?
No, I mean, I get what you're saying.
As there's,
I just think it's
dead
funny
silence.
That you, I just think it's funny that you jump to the monks.
Yeah, I get it, but again, it's a strange analogy to pick.
It is, but I remember thinking about it when they were having that conversation. I'm like, this seems like a conversation that, like, a Buddhist would have. Or a philosopher. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where he's like, you know, death doesn't just come to the evil ones. It comes to everybody. So that's all. That's all I have for that. But I do have a note here that I think is going to make everybody laugh. And it basically says, what is it? Hello, penis. Just a close up of a dick. Move along. Tra la la.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, wow. They didn't even pull any punches, and it wasn't circumcised.
HBO is not messing around.
Also, that dude must have had to, like, how embarrassing was that, that he had to sit through makeup to get that on his dick on screen?
Oh, my God.
At least he shaved that shit.
Yes. HBO's trying to appeal to both sides now. They're like, okay, we've shown you guys enough titties that we need to throw something out there.
I have to say it's very off-putting. Yeah. That was, like, major close-up.
It was.
Because, like, what am I looking at? What am I looking? Oh, my God. Hello, penis.
And the whole point of showing us the penis was the fact that he had a growth on it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I didn't want to see that in medical journals. I don't want to see it on HBO.
No, no.
Exactly.
So I think you were trying, but not the kind of love scene, kind of penis crotch shot we were looking for, HBO. FYI. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe I've just grown up as an American for too long. I honestly, this is going to sound horrible.
Oh, boy.
I'd rather see tits and ass on TV than cock and balls.
I mean, but I can agree with that, though.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just so... There was no point to that. It wasn't like
right.
an aesthetic thing. It wasn't, there was nothing. Also, it's always very shocking and jarring to me when I see it. And then I have to, like, try to forget it and move on when I'm watching the show. Like, I'm so used to seeing tits and ass that when I see something that's not, it's like, oh, I didn't need to see that. And why are they showing us? Why are they showing us everybody's cock and balls that we don't want to see?
I was about to say, it's never the people you want to see.
Right? They've got never. All the hot chicks. All the hot chicks have boobs and ass hanging out, and even the other areas hanging out, like, mm-hmm. full frontal. And then we get, like, the old maester, Hodor.
Oh, God. That one guy from the shame walk.
Right? And then... pubescent boy with warts on his dick. Like, come on!
Oh, man.
I was having a conversation about this earlier, and a really good point was brought up, that, you know, if they wanted to go the route of equality with nudity, just have everyone in the room changing and just have it be super casual, like, you know, where a bunch of actors, we're all changing together, this is normal, as opposed to, look, my ball.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's not an organic thing. Well, I guess it is, and given the context of what's going on, but he's talking to the dude about, you know, look, there's a growth here. yeah, that happens, but really, couldn't they all have been changing? Couldn't it have been like a thing? Do we have to have a close-up of the wart? Could we just not have referenced it?
Yeah.
It just seemed unnecessary. I don't mind organic crotch shots, but just for saying, oh, well, look, we're trying to be equal. Putting a pubescent boy is not really what I wanted to see.
Correct.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. So we jumped. Anything else we want to talk about with Arya? Because there was a lot going on there.
Oof. That play was a little painful to watch. It started out like funny, and then like they started shit talking Ned Stark, and I'm like, oh, that's hard to watch with his daughter right there, because she doesn't even happened after, you know? Because I thought about that. I was like, to be fair, she doesn't know what happened after, you know, they executed him. So for all she knows, that whole making fun of everything could have been true. What she knows.
Well, I mean, she knows that that's not how it happened. I don't know that she knows about Tyrion. Well, she must know about Tyrion and Sansa because the Hound was with her.
Yeah, but did he know? Because didn't he take off after the Battle of Blackwater?
Oh, he did.
Yeah, so like I was like trying to figure out what she knew to be true and what she had no idea about, so it's hard to figure out.
Well, she knows that her father was executed. She was there for that. Sansa was there.
Mm-hmm.
She also knows that her father didn't try to usurp the throne like they were suggesting in that play. Anything else?
No, but ladies, unfortunately, I think I need to duck out now that we have covered the Arya portion of the event.
Aww.
I know, I'm
all right.
Sorry. But it was
all
great
right.
chatting
well,
with you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I hope, Rochelle, that you'll come back and host with us again.
I would love to.
Do.
It would be a lot of fun.
Okay, that sounds great. We'll post the link as soon as we're edited and up and running, and then you can listen to it, the rest of what we're talking about on this episode.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I will listen as soon as it's up.
Okay.
Awesome.
Sounds wonderful.
I will talk with you later.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for
joining.
My pleasure. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I feel bad. She didn't get a chance to stay for the whole thing, but she did mention that she wasn't gonna be able to join us for the whole time. But I am glad. And see, we are true to our word. Please, if you would like to be a guest, please contact us and let us know. You can Facebook us, you can PM us, you can send us messages on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, or you can send a message directly to the VRO, and Amy will be happy to give us that message and organize everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, now for something completely different.
Yes.
My next note says, holy shit, the White Walkers were made by the children.
Oh my god. Oh, Jesus. That whole thing. I was like, we learned a lot this episode. We found out about a lot of origins, actually.
Yeah, we did. So, that's the only line I have, and then it jumps to Yara and Theon. But I wanted to make sure that I read that out because we're going to have to talk about that later on.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Okay. Yara and Theon.
Mm-hmm.
I have a note here that says, Theon finally grew some balls and stood up for Yara. Unfortunately, the uncle gets the vote. So, what do you have to say about this? You were right. He was going to actually stand up for her.
God bless. That whole thing, I was just stunned at like how quickly it turned. Like they were all here
mm-hmm.
for Yara, and then he just like sweet talked his way into the throne, and like completely honest, he's like, "Yeah, I killed him." was like, okay.
Well,
what's
to be
happened?
fair, I mean, to be fair, I mean, that's how the Ironborn are. Also, I want to just give a quick retraction. Last week, I kept saying Yara should be on the Iron Throne, and I meant she should rule the Iron Island.
Ironborn.
And
okay, yeah.
Yeah, she should be the Ironborn queen, and I kept saying she should be on the Iron Throne. I don't think she should be on the Iron Throne, although she is hot shit, and she'd probably be a really good, do a good job at it. She's a little too volatile to be ruling the Seven Kingdoms, but she should actually be queen. And I was really upset that it didn't work out that way. I really thought that Theon and her were just going to take him out right there.
Right. I wish. But no, I see what you're saying. I didn't catch that, but yeah, I agree. Definitely fit for the Iron Islands. All of the kingdoms, though, I'm not too sure she's up for that job.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, she had the vote. She had it. Well, first, once they got over her being a woman, and we've never had a queen before. Especially not with Theon, you know, the firstborn son and blah, blah, blah. And he actually stands up and he starts making the speech. And his speech is actually really very good. He makes some very good points. And he starts getting her, getting them on board. And they start to yell her name. And they're on board for a queen, which I thought was pretty fast for them to be okay with this. And then Euron shows up and you're like, oh, God.
I know.
And Yara's quick. She figured it out immediately. She knew exactly what happened to her father as soon as he admitted that he was there a couple of days before.
Right. She's very smart.
Right.
I find it interesting that the first thing he kept doing is, like, he kept trying to, undermine Theon's speech or authority over them by, like, he kept bringing up that he did not have a penis. And I was like, is that really, like, the one thing you're going to go back to?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, think about back in that time, a king's soul, in order to have a legacy, you have to produce an heir. And if he doesn't have a penis, he can't produce an heir.
That's true, but he was rooting for, you know, Yara to rule. He wasn't trying to take over. So I don't know. The whole thing was crazy to me. Like, that's the
okay,
one Brancy. Thing.
Brancy, yeah. in modern day, what is the first thing men do to other men when they
okay,
are confronting
fair.
Them?
That's fair.
They try to emasculate them. They try
that's
to
fair.
Talk down to them. They try to make them seem weak. They try to make dick jokes. They do that. That is pretty par for the course.
Okay. To be fair, you're right. You're right. I'm not thinking about it in the guy's context, so I'll give you that. But Jesus,
yeah.
It was like, okay, we get it. He doesn't have a dick. To me, it was
right.
But now that you say that, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, it was fairly realistic, but it sucks that it's true, and there's really nothing he could have said. It was like, oh, yeah, I'll show you it's not, and whipped it out, but he couldn't. So the uncle reveals that he wants to throw in with Dany, with Daenerys. And I have here, boy, is he sorely mistaken about being able to woo her.
Yes, I said that too. It's like, okay, really? But she doesn't want you, though. Like, I don't even have to see you meet her to know that.
Right, and his point when Yara was like, you think you're gonna woo her? And he's like, no, my Iron Fleet is going to woo her. And actually, that would probably be the only way that she marries him.
For sure.
But I'd love to see her marry him and then quickly kill him.
That'd be great.
How awesome, I have a note here, how awesome would it have been if Euron Greyjoy actually did drown and didn't come back again?
That would have been great. Oh, man.
Right. And then I have, there's a note here that says, that is some ghetto-ass crown.
I said that. I was like, look. guys, I could make that with whatever's in my backyard right now.
Right? And I was sitting there with Jamie, and she's like, it's driftwood. It's made from driftwood. I'm like, I get that. It's still a ghetto-ass crown. It's like, you couldn't have done a better job with that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, all the other crowns, and like, they're so beautiful. And then it's just, like, driftwood glued together.
I have seen some really, at the fair, we have a lot of fairies and woodland creatures and things like that. So they often do make wooden crowns and, like, driftwood and things like that. And I've seen better ones that were made. I hate to say this because, you know, somebody actually made that crown and I'm totally destroying it. But it would have been a perfectly good crown if somebody was making it not for a king.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
for
I think
sure.
There could have been a little bit more intricate driftwood used that would have been a little bit more regal. But I get it. They're supposed to be like true salt of the earth and down to earth and bare bones minimum and that kind of stuff. So I understand why the crown was made out of driftwood. I just think that there may have been some better samples that they could have used to make
right.
the crown.
Right. I mean,
you can make
something out of anything. So there could have been a lot more done to it. But I get it, you know. I get it.
Yeah. To be fair, it was probably like the director's decision like 2 minutes before the shot. He's like, we need a crown for this dude. Can somebody go like go down the beach and pick some shit up for me? That's probably what happened. But,
yes.
People are going to crucify me today for all of the comments that I'm making. Bring it on.
We've both been just going through it with Game of Thrones today.
I know, right? There's so many feels, though. There's so many feels. So Yara and Theon steal the fleet. Like, how badass is that?
Mm-hmm. Loved it. Where do you think they're headed off to, though? Do you have a place in mind?
No idea.
I don't
no
know either.
Frickin' idea. No idea. Know. I'm hoping that they can't go back to... I was going to say, I hope they go back to help Sansa with Winterfell, but Theon doesn't know that that's what she's doing. And, excuse me, I have a little bit too much hiccups today.
It's okay.
Theon doesn't know that that's where she's going, like that's what she's doing, and he can't go back because Ramsay's looking for him.
Right. It's true.
Unless he's going to go back and take Winterfell back again.
I mean, hey, do what you got to do. But I do wish that's where they were going.
They didn't have 5,000. They just didn't have that 5,000 men. And Ramsay does. And that's the whole point of what Sansa's doing. So I think I just talked myself out of that theory. Where do you think they're going?
That's where I was hoping that they were going because he knew that she was headed to Castle Black. So I was like, well, maybe he is going to try and help her out now. But I don't know because he is with Yara. Like, it's not entirely his call. Like, she has to have some say in it. So I don't know what she's thinking right now.
Yeah. But kudos to them for knowing that he was going to turn around and try to kill them.
Oh, yeah. We're quick on the uptake there.
Right. Okay, I'm going to mosey on. I'll give you the two. The next one I have is Dany and Jory. And it says, Jory finally admits he loves Dany and tells her that she needs to send him away. And then Dany orders him to find a cure. And then it cuts to Tyrion, Varys, and Kinvara, who's the servant of the Lord of Light. So let's start with Dany and Jory.
Oh, yes. Mr. Stone Man. That's spreading pretty quickly.
Yeah. That's a little faster than it should be.
Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah. When he finally fessed up, I was like, oh, six seasons in the making, and it's all coming out now. And Dario's just, like, sitting there like, this is awkward. But I have to sit
here. Like, I'm standing right here.
Exactly.
So about that and about that emotional scene, she basically says, I sent you away twice and you came back twice and you saved my life. So I can't let you stay and I can't send you away. And she moves towards him and then he backs up. And did you see the slate? Did you see Dario?
Yeah.
Kind of sort of try to step forward to get in between them, like to protect her. I thought that was a really cool, subtle move from the actor.
Yes, definitely. I did notice that.
And then I felt really bad for Jory, one, because he basically admits his love and he walks away. And then I felt bad for Daenerys, because you could see how much she truly does care about him and how much she doesn't want him to die. And just the fierceness behind her saying to him, you know, you don't walk away from me. Like, excuse me, I did not dismiss you. And she's basically commanding him as her queen to find a cure. But to this day, we don't know if there is a cure. We know that Shireen had a cure somehow. But it wasn't gone into how it happened or how it was able to happen. We don't have any history behind that. What do you think? You want to take a bet on Jory is going to survive or not?
You know, I feel like they're gonna make him survive just because of the way it all played out with Daenerys, like, basically exactly demanding him to find it. But I don't know how soon that's gonna happen. I don't know if that's really something that they're gonna do this season or if they're gonna try and, like, stretch it out because there's, like, other things to go on to. I'm not sure. Because they have kind of stretched it out pretty far already. He's been infected for a pretty long time, and they kind of dropped a few hints about the grayscale, talking about it with Shireen. Like, I remember a scene where she was talking about it when she had it, when, like, she was, like, a little child, but they didn't go super in depth into it. So I think that they're like building it up a little bit, but I don't know how soon they're going to get to the overall big plot of it.
Yeah.
I almost feel
it
won't be this season. That's what I'm thinking. I feel like it won't be this season. Maybe in the
I don't know. He doesn't have too many episodes left.
mean, it's spreading pretty quickly, so I don't know. But we're technically halfway through the season already. It's crazy.
I know.
I hate it.
And then it switches to back in Meereen with Tyrion, Varys. And then Kinvara is the new person. She's the new old Melisandre. She's, according to, if you read the Valyrian that they were translating, she's supposed to be the first servant of the Lord. So you know she's old as hell.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a note that says, this actress is creepy and I know her from somewhere, but I don't know where.
She did look familiar to me for some reason, but I don't know who
Didn't
she is.
She looked very familiar, and I couldn't tell where she was from. She was great. She was fantastic. And I have another note here where this is the first time we've actually seen Varys be the smartass and Tyrion be the voice of reason.
Yes, I did find that interesting.
What did you think about that whole scene?
I don't know. It was weird because, like you said, Varys is always the one who's calm and collected and who's explaining everything. And even they paralleled what Varys said last season when Tyrion says, who said anything about him? So I thought that was interesting that they chose to use that line again and flip it.
Right.
Kind of built
that
up.
That was a good catch. I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was
that was
that
a really
whole
good
bit before. It was like foreshadowing almost.
But Kinvara really shook Varys. Like, you could see that he was really shaken by that whole scene. And she did a really job, a really good being, like, creepy and fanatical and almost like the Sparrow in, like, kind but menacing.
Right. She was really interesting. I wonder if we're going to see more of her. Because it's weird because you see Melisandre so much over the season, so you begin to associate, you know, just her with the Lord of Light and the priestess and everything.
Yeah.
But then you see her and you're like, okay, well, actually, Melisandre's not the only one. So it's kind of hard to look at it differently, but she did a really good job.
Yeah, I have to admit that she did do a really good job. I'm sorry, I had to put myself on mute. I was walking through the living room, and there was Pirates of the Caribbean blaring.
it's all good.
but, yeah, I have to say that they did also a very good job in Marine, in the background, showing different, I guess they would say, priests and priestesses of the Lord of Light.
Mm-hmm.
In different scenes, like when they were walking through public areas, they've made several references to these fanatics. So
yes.
I like that they finally wound up bringing them into that, and they had set the scene over so many episodes.
Yeah, I definitely like that when there's like a little build up to it.
Right. We have to talk about anything else in that scene. Anything else that, what do you think is going to happen if Kinvara is siding with Daenerys and Melisandre is siding with Jon Snow? Do you think they'll ever meet up and have a clash?
See, I'm not sure, but to be fair, if we are correct in assuming that R plus L equals J, then technically neither of them are that far from the truth of agreeing. So
that's true.
To be fair.
That is true. Okay. All right. So we've gotten to the Bran section.
Oh, my.
Okay, but I want to read something that we decided last week before we saw the episode that, oh, my God, we have to read this fan theory that's going to blow your mind. And I have the article up. I'm not going to read the whole article, but I will see if I can get to the meat of what this fan theory is. And I thought it was really very interesting, and it just happens to coincide with what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Elite Daily, and the title of it is "This Game of Thrones Theory about Bran Stark will freak you the F out." I'm not going to say it online, but...
Okay.
It says here, following the conclusion of Season 6, Episode 3, Game of Thrones, there's a fresh fan theory going around that has everyone more freaked out than the impending arrival of the White Walkers. Little did they know. So we're only 3 episodes into the seasons of Game of Thrones. We already know the flashbacks Brandon Stark takes with the Three-Eyed Raven are going to be a regularity, which they are.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday night, the pair was at it again, this time being transported to the fight between young Ned Stark and Sir Arthur Dayne, the Tower of Joy.
Right.
At the Tower of Joy. During that scene, Bran screams out, "Father," and a confused Ned Stark turns around, clearly intimating he hears something, despite the Three-Eyed Raven's claim that Bran can't change the past. It's looking more and more plausible with each flashback that he can. And I want to give credit here. The article says, Reddit user Negative Karma Sniffer posted this theory. The theory says, from Season 6, Episode 3, Bran realizes that others can hear him during the visions from the past, but doesn't understand that they cannot fully understand him. He attempts to reason with King Aerys. This is the theory of how the whole Game of Thrones starts. He attempts to reason with King Aerys when shown a vision of him. The king only hears whispers and is driven mad by it. Bran tries to fix this, however, makes it worse. Mad King Aerys burns Bran's grandfather alive, while Bran frantically tries to stop him. All he hears is whispers. Bran sets the events of the show in motion. Taking that idea a step further, there are those on Reddit who pointed out that not only does Bran set events in motion that seemingly already happened, but he also set the entire show in motion by inadvertently discovering Cersei and Jaime Lannister having sex.
Mm-hmm.
How freaking close is that? I mean, it didn't happen with Aerys and that whole thing, but it's looking more and more like this is all Bran's fault. We'll talk about why this is a huge fan theory in a minute, but that's pretty spot on. We were going to talk about it in a theoretical sense in this episode, but it pretty much flows right into the storyline.
You know, when you showed me that article, I was like, this theory makes so much sense, because I've heard, you know, things here and there. I haven't finished the books, but I did remember, I think I read somewhere that George R. R. Martin was talking about Bran's presence in the books and how important he actually was. And I was thinking about that while reading that article, and I was like, you know, it makes sense.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that was really very good. And it's funny, too, because I have here in Section 7, it says Bran, and the first underneath it was, damn it, Bran, this is all your fault.
Oh, my God.
And then I have a note here, also, why can the White Walkers see you when you're warging?
That was some crazy shit right there.
So, actually, I should read this in succession, and then we can go back and talk about it. But it says, okay. Bran, damn it, Bran, this is all your fault. Point number two. Also, why can the White Walkers see you when you're warging? Next one. Damn it, Bran, now you've doomed them. damn it, Bran, you broke Hodor's brain. And then the last thing was, Hodor!
Oh, my God. Oh,
that is actually what I wrote.
That's the natural progression of those last 10 minutes to me, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we said in the beginning, holy shit, the White Walkers were made by the children, or what they like to call the old ones. Let's start with that and move forward, because that almost should have been like all together. They kept jumping around, but they should have put the whole thing together. So the first time we see Bran with the three-eyed raven, and they're watching by the old tree, by the god tree, the children, and there's a bunch of them, and there's a man tied to the tree, or tied to one of the stones, and is it Summer?
I think so, yeah.
Summer is the one who creates the White Walkers by shoving a piece of it looks like dragon glass.
That's what it looked like to me.
Chest. Right. And his eyes start turning blue, and you intimate from that he's turning into a White Walker. And he gets thrown out of the episode, basically. And he confronts Summer and says, "You guys created the White Walkers. Why did you do that?" And she says, "We needed protection." And he's like, "Protection from whom?" You know, because the White Walkers are the ones that are causing all the problem. And she basically says, "From you, from your kind. You guys, you were destroying us, and we needed a weapon."
Right.
Obviously, that went horribly, horribly wrong. Like, how did it all of a sudden turn into, you know, we're just going to kill everything in sight?
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot more to that story.
Right. So yeah, it's all their fault that they created the White Walkers. Then the second time, I think that the thing was, damn it, Bran, this is all your fault, was when he was bored. I guess he was bored. He wanted to get back to seeing visions. He wasn't listening to what the three-eyed raven was telling him, the old man in the tree. And he goes to try and grab the tree root. But I think, did he actually grab the tree root, or did he grab one of the skeletons?
You know, I'm not sure. Now that I think about it.
So he sees that, and then he sees this army of White Walkers just standing there.
Oh, jeez.
And then he proceeds to walk through them, which was the creepiest scene ever, but we finally get to see a really good close-up of the White Walkers. And he gets to the end, and you knew something ominous was going to happen, but I didn't know that was going to happen.
No.
He turns, he sees... How many were there?
One, a lot.
Two. No, the main guys.
Oh, I
like
wanted to
head
like,
guys.
Like 5 or 6, I think. I'm not
Could
sure
there
exactly.
Have been 7?
Possibly.
I'm wondering
more,
if it was
more than 3, but it was definitely less than 10.
I'm going to have to go back and watch the episode again, but I have a feeling if it was 7... Would each one of them stand for the 7 kingdoms?
Ooh. Maybe so.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just a fan theory. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we don't know who they are. So I'm assuming that we will find out at some point who they are, but maybe not because, you know, thanks, George.
basically.
yeah. So... So what else? So, of course, he's standing there, and this whole time the raven has been saying, the three-eyed raven's been saying to him, you can't change what's happened, and tries to say, you know, Ned Stark didn't hear him call his name, that it could have just been the wind and blah, blah, blah. This is the first definitive area where we know that he actually can be seen and heard in one of these warging time wargs. Because the guy that got turned into the White Walker, the first White Walker, turns his head and looks directly at Bran. And when Bran turns around, now they're all turned around looking at him. And he turns around again, and the White Walker is standing right next to him, and he grabs him, and he gets thrown out of the warging session. And, of course, at that point, everybody's awake. And he says, you know, I saw the White Walkers, and the three-eyed raven knows right away he touched you, and there's a mark on his arm. And the creepiest line in the whole episode was, they can't get in here. And he looks at him, and he looks at his arm, and he says, they can now.
Oh, God.
And that's when you, and that's when, like, the shiver goes over your body, and you're like, oh, fudge.
I had that experience 100%. I was like, oh my God. I didn't expect it to happen in this episode, though, but I knew it was coming.
Right. I wasn't expecting the White Walker to interact directly with him, and I certainly wasn't expecting this ending.
Oh, no.
But that's where, damn it, Bran, now you've doomed them, came from, was they can now. And I was like, oh, crap.
Oh, man.
And then, right? And then the three-eyed raven says to him, it's time for you to become me. Bran says to him, am I ready? And he says, no, you're not. But it's basically implied that you don't really have a choice.
Yeah, exactly.
And he throws him back into a time warg. And as he's kind of, I guess, trying to learn the ways of the three-eyed raven, Mira and Hodor are packing up and getting ready, and Mira notices that it's starting to get colder and colder and colder, and then she sees the breath, and then she knows something's up. But, okay, so what I should have written here was, damn it, Mira, why do you have to go check? Like, you already know.
Yeah.
You already know that they're on their way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was that really necessary? Couldn't you guys just have, like, gotten the hell up and ran
like,
to the back door?
Like, went into survival mode already.
That was not necessary. Totally not necessary.
Nope. It's almost like that horror
movie
trope of, like, right? When the horror movies, they always have to check. If you hear something, don't say, who's there? Just go. Just run.
Right?
Ugh.
But, I mean, I was actually yelling at the TV, like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you going there? Like, you know they're there. You can see your breath. Why?
Mm.
Why?
Should have just run.
I don't even understand it. It was like, that was like plot hole right there.
Yeah.
What do we used to call that on American Horror Story?
Logic fails.
Logic fail. Yes.
Yes.
So, that was a logic fail right there. Game of Thrones logic fail. Also, what I didn't write in here because I was too heartbroken about it was, goddamn, they really like to kill off these dogs.
Oh, my God. I said that, too. I was like, do we have to make sure that every wolf is dead? Because that's what you guys are doing so far.
Right? Like, every freaking one of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's too much.
I tell you what. So yeah, they killed Bran's dog, his wolf. He went out fighting. And then I should have written it down, but it was like a scene from like Lord of the Rings where all of like, they're in, Moria and all of the arcs start coming down the hallway. And I was like,
oh
my God.
God, yes.
But I actually, when Summer stood there with the ball, I was like, you shall not pass.
That's exactly what it was like. They were like, oh my God, it was too much. I was like, really? That's so many of
you
them.
You shall not pass.
Oh, Jesus. That's
oh,
pretty much what
my
she
gosh.
Did.
So, yeah, she did. We did find out, though, that fire, except for the main ones, fire can destroy the White Walkers.
Yes.
Or at least explosions can.
Right. So we're slowly figuring out their weaknesses.
Right. Oh, and another thing was answered because Mira picked up one of the children's spears and killed one of the main White Walkers.
Yes, I did see
because it had the dragon glass. The spears were made out of dragon glass. So she killed them. So now we know it's not necessarily a Valyrian that has to use the stuff to kill. Well, we knew that already with Sam and using the dragon glass. So I think our original theory that because Jon could possibly be a Targaryen and he's wielding the Valyrian steel, I don't know. Maybe that is a thing. But we know that in regards to the dragon glass, anybody could kill a White Walker with dragon glass.
Yes. Which I find interesting because that's what they used to create them to begin with.
Well, that actually makes sense because that which creates you can destroy
you.
Yeah.
I love that they did that.
That's like poetic justice. But the only thing I could think of coming up towards the end of the season or towards the end of Game of Thrones is that if there is actually a White Walker invasion, I'm thinking that the dragons that Daenerys has can create dragon glass, and then that's how they wind up killing the White Walkers. So I'm going to call that one.
There you go. That's it. Just called it, y'all.
Just called it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Mira kills one of the White Walkers. And then we get to the scene that broke everybody.
Like, the whole internet's destroyed.
I know.
Well,
all right, you go ahead, Brancy. Say what you got to say.
I mean, I just have three words, and it's hold the door. Like, that's yeah. Mm.
Okay. So, before we get into this, I just want to go back, because I had sent you a message this morning. This is the second mm-hmm. content that I wanted to share with everybody. So, it's funny that I woke up this morning, and my friend Mike, posting on his Facebook page, an article, and he was like, hey, they're talking about me. And so I need to preface this by, apparently I'm only 1 degree away from George R.R. Martin.
There you go.
Right?
Get that connection.
So when I'm saying Mike, I'm talking about Mike Ventrella, who has broke the internet today. Mike Ventrella, I know Mike Ventrella. I know Mike Ventrella very well. I work at the Renaissance Fair. I apprenticed with his wife, Heidi Hooper, and I worked for both him and Heidi for many, many, many years. So I know Mike very well. He is a lawyer. He does work in the Poconos. And his wife is amazing. He's a great guy. He's also a writer. And so everybody kept asking me, how do you know this guy? And why did he have any reason to be in an elevator with George R.R. Martin? He's a writer. He is the founder of one of the major LARPs, live action role-playing games, which is how we wound up doing the Renaissance Fairs and doing LARPing supply and all that kind of stuff with the leather. So I'm giving you all this backstory because it is actually him that all of these articles about some guy guessed the meaning of Hodor's name back in 2014. He also runs a political blog called Ventrella Quest. And I remember, because I follow his blog, I remember him posting this episode, this interaction between him and George R.R. Martin, because they were both at a convention. Heidi was doing her art things at a convention and he was promoting his book. And they just happened to be on the same floor. Their rooms happened to be on the same floor. And it was a small convention. So they kept running into each other in like random places, but mostly in the elevator. And I remember reading it back in 2014 and none of us paid any attention to it, but it was kind of like a nice little snippet of things going on. And so I'm going to see if I can actually find, I have the article. Guy unknowingly learned Hodor's secret from George R.R. Martin years ago. And that's actually not true. He unknowingly guessed the true meaning of Hodor's name to George R.R. Martin, who somewhat confirmed it, but nobody knew what the context was. He was joking with him on different things that was going on. So the first time there were some other fans on the elevator who asked for a picture with him and he obliged. They got off before our floor, so it was just us. We walked out and headed down the hall and the conversation went like this. Now, this is directly from Ventrella Quest. It's a post back in 2014. Martin, I do get tired of posing for pictures all the time. Mike says, well, you're quite famous. Well, you're quite famous now. Martin, I wasn't unknown before. And he says, true, among us. But you were never a guest on Conan before. And Martin says, true. So then he says, around the third time we were on the elevator together, he pushed the button for our floor and then asked the others what floors they needed. And then after everyone left, he turned to me and he said, I always wanted to be an elevator operator if the writing thing didn't work out. We both laughed and we went to our room. The final time we ended up together, the conversation went like this. Mike says, I finally figured out why you have a character named Hodor. Martin says, oh. Mike says, I was thinking about your comment about wanting to be an elevator operator. It's clear to me now that Hodor is short for hold the door. Martin started laughing. You don't know how close to the truth you are. And then he says, so there you have it. If we ever learn why Hodor says Hodor, which as readers know is not his given name, and it has something to do with elevators, remember, you read it here first. That was in 2014.
Wow. That's, I mean, wow. Like,
right?
You don't
how
get
crazy.
Much more spot on than that.
Spot on, right?
That's,
so
yeah.
that's why it broke the internet. And I was gonna call Mike and be like, hey Mike, you wanna come on my show tonight? But he's been hounded all day. Like he's I'm waiting for my 15 minutes of viral fame to go away. He has been on the phone with BuzzFeed, with the Hollywood Reporter, with all of these different places all over the place that I was like, you know what, I'm not going to bother him. I could have gotten him to come on, but I didn't want to bother him. So maybe we'll have him come on after he's actually seen the episode, because at this point, the entire internet.
It?
No, he didn't see it before the internet broke.
What?
Right?
Oh,
he
my
was
God.
Doing all of these interviews today, and he's like, and after all of this, I still haven't seen the episode. So please, if I haven't been spoiled already, please don't post any more spoilers.
Oh my God, yeah, for sure. Let's let him see it first.
Right? So the funny thing is that he's supposed to be at a convention in Baltimore this weekend, and George R.R. Martin is going to be there as well. So we'll see if they run into each other.
Oh my God. That's
right?
Wow. I can't.
Because I'm just wondering if he's going to remember me, you know? Because they're writers. They kind of all know each other.
Yeah. Wow.
So that being said, that's my second piece of commentary and content. And we can get to the actual episode. But spot on, Hodor is short for hold the door.
Oh, God. I mean, that you really can't get closer to accuracy than that.
Right. Well, I have to say that Mike is a very big pun person. Like he likes puns, especially bad puns, and so it's entirely possible, and he will admit this himself, that he was just joking around and he didn't even mean it, and
right,
because he was making a bad pun and he actually inadvertently guessed the origin of Hodor.
Right,
so there you go.
Wow.
Just get stuck in an elevator with George R.R. Martin and make bad puns, and you'll probably guess all of his episodes.
Right. Just keep throwing puns
right?
at him. Just keep throwing puns.
So,
see what lands.
Such a heartbreaking scene, though, where
now
we find out definitively that Bran actually can change the past.
Yes.
And the future, because they're coming after him. The White Walkers are coming after him because they actually interacted with him. And then he gets thrown back into this time warp where Willis, who is Hodor before Hodor, Willis is talking to Lyanna. They're all doing all this stuff. And Meera keeps saying, so actually, here's the thing. Bran that breaks Hodor's brain, or is it Meera that breaks Hodor's brain? Because I watched the episode again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there, and he wargs into Hodor because he's still trying to – I think he wargs into Hodor because, remember, Hodor's freaking out, and all of a sudden he snaps to it, and he gets up, and he starts moving. And I thought that was Bran warging into Hodor to get him to get up and move everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still in the time warg. Back at Winterfell, and he sees Willis, and Meera is trying to save him. the other direwolf is dead. Summer is dead. They're coming after them, like the orcs in Moria, and they got to get out. They just get out, closing the door. They're trying to break it down, and Bran is still in there, but Mira keeps saying, "We need Hodor. We need Hodor." And in that scene, actually looks straight at Bran in that warg. Mm-hmm. And then he has the seizure. And in the background, you can hear Mira saying to Hodor, "Hold the door." And it keeps repeating, "Hold the door, hold the door." And then you start seeing Willis in his seizure keep repeating, "Hold the door, hold the door." And it's great the way that they did the cadence, because the two of them are saying it almost exactly the same way.
Yes.
Like Mira's intonation and Hodor's intonation are almost exactly the same. And then we find out that Hodor is, he keeps saying, "Hold the door, hold the door, hold the door." And then in order for him to say it faster, he shortens it to Hodor.
Mm-hmm.
So we come to find out that the purpose of Hodor is for that moment of him realizing his destiny to save Bran.
Yes.
Now, that's heavy, heavy shit.
Yes, very heavy for the last, minute of the episode.
Right. Did I get all that right? Did I remember all that?
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much exactly what happened. And it was, heartbreaking to watch it happen.
Yeah. And he was trying so hard. He was trying so hard to hold that door.
Oh, yeah. And he did not give up at all.
No. No. But at the same time, as heartbreaking as it was that Hodor died, it was more heartbreaking that he was dead from the minute he had that seizure.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, that was his destiny. But he was doing what he needed to do to ensure that Bran survived. And God damn it, if something happens to Bran, we're all going to riot.
Oh, yeah.
Hodor did not die for nothing. There has
exactly got
to be a reason.
There must be purpose.
There has to be purpose, because we are all going to freaking riot if Hodor died for no reason. I don't know. I think that it was the best way for him to go, and it was the most heartbreaking, because it almost seemed like he was reliving it as it was happening, but it was really Bran seeing it. But
right,
but was it Bran seeing it, or was it Hodor reliving it?
That's a good point. You know,
and
I
then
don't
people
know.
Were asking, well, was he aware? Did he know that that was his purpose? Did he know? Was he aware and he just couldn't speak, or was he just that dumb, bumbling idiot that everybody thought he was? I don't think he was. I think he knew.
No.
And I think he knew, because when Bran asked him in the last episode, "I saw you, your name was Willis, and you could talk. What happened to you, Hodor?" And the answer, remember we said that he was a wonderful actor at just delivering those lines, and it's just Hodor, and that's all he says?
Mm-hmm.
You could see, going back and thinking back to that episode, he knew when Bran asked him, he wanted to tell him, you know, I think he knew it was Bran that did that to him.
Yeah, I think so too.
So it was just, it was a wonderful, wonderful scene, but horrible and heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's some things on the internet that I was like, oh, too soon. Like they
Way
had a picture
too
of Hodor. And, did you see the one where they had a picture of Hodor on a doorstop?
Oh my God, no, that's awful.
And I was like, that is too soon.
I saw one and
right?
It was like, get you a guy who will hold the door for you. And then it was like a picture of him. And I was like, now why? Why?
Right?
Why
right?
would you do that?
Right.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
And like, as hard as it was to watch, though, you're totally right. Like, that is such a powerful scene. And I loved it, but I hated it at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm actually on Facebook and I just happened to be scrolling through and I saw one of Mike Ventrella's posts and it's a different article and he's like,
mm-hmm.
whoa man, I'm actually viral.
Yes. Welcome to the fame, sir.
Oh, okay, so this was an hour ago. Somebody said to him, have you gotten to see the episode yet? And he responds, yes. And I cried, of course.
Oh, man. Well, at least he's seen it now.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody that knows him is like, wait a minute, I saw this earlier. This was about you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny when friends of yours have brushes with fame.
Yeah.
I also know the guy that made the cat armor online. I don't know him. Like, I know him. I don't know him like I know Mike. But, yeah, it's funny how you wind up, like, in these little circles of people who brush with fame.
Mm-hmm.
And how one stupid little thing makes you, like, kind of famous. It's weird. I'm sure he's hoping that it'll be over very soon.
Yeah.
He can get back to actually practicing law, you know?
Like, oh my God, like, can I like that? That's what I get.
Yeah, like, right? Like I have a trial. I kind of have to go keep these people out of jail.
Yes.
Sorry, dude. Sorry you got convicted. I had to do
Sorry,
an
man.
Interview. But yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I'm kind of shocked about this ending with Hodor. Part of me, like I said before, part of me is super super sad that he's gone, but the other part of me is like, of course he had to go this way.
Right. That's kind of what I'm experiencing right now.
Yeah. It was like apropos. But doesn't hurt any less. But it was, he sacrificed him for Bran. He loved Bran.
Right. Man, doesn't make it any less hard, but oh,
no.
Gives me comfort that he
no,
had
doesn't.
Purpose.
So what's going to happen next episode? I didn't see the coming attraction.
Did not. Okay. They did show a little clip of Marjorie standing out with the High Sparrow, and then you see a bunch of soldiers coming up. So something's going to happen.
Oh, Highgarden?
Sure.
Was it Highgarden or the Kingsguard?
Yeah. I wasn't sure exactly, but you just see like a quick flash of them running up to where she is, and she's like on the same steps that mm-hmm. Cersei was on, but she was still dressed and her hair was still there, so I don't know what... It's different than what happened with Cersei, so I'm not sure where they're going with that. And then I do remember there was a clip with Daenerys, but I don't remember exactly what she said in it. And I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember if they showed any of the Winterfell stuff. But I definitely remembered Marjorie and the guards. I feel like they showed like a little something of Meera, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
So what do you want to happen next episode?
I would like to not cry for once. That's what I would like.
Okay, that's not going to happen. So
that's clearly not ever going to happen on this show. Everybody no. likes to use that quote that Ramsay says, if you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. I'm like, if I could describe Game of Thrones in one sentence, that's it. What I would like to see, I would like to see where the hell Theon and Yara are going. I'm excited for that. I want to see what's going to happen when Bran wakes up, now that he knows the weight of everything. And mm-hmm. I definitely want to see what's going to happen with Jon and Sansa and trying to take back Winterfell. I'm really excited for that part.
Yeah. Do you think it'll work? Do you think they'll be able to do it?
Oh, you know, that quote, though, Jess, I don't know if there will always be a happy ending. So I don't want to get hopes too high.
Right. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. What do you guys think? I realize that this was an extraordinarily long show,
yes.
and I apologize, but we had a lot of things that needed to be said. There
mm-hmm.
was a lot of content, but we wanted to make sure that we were representing the fan base and letting you guys know that we don't just do the recaps. We actually do really enjoy the show. We like posting the memes. We like talking to the fans, and we like hearing your theories. And it's one thing to say we like your theories. It's another thing to show you that we actually like your theories. So that was important
yes.
to let you see that we do actually read these different theories besides our own. And
mm-hmm.
We are kind of wanting to discuss it with you. So if you want to do like Rochelle, just come on and you just want to come on for a minute or two, or if you want to host the whole show with us, please contact us. Let us know. Like I said, there are many different ways that you can get in contact with us.
Right.
Brancy and I don't bite.
Nope.
And,
but we do like hearing from you guys, though. We got a couple
yeah.
Things that we got back from last week, but
okay.
Anything more, by all means. We did get a comment from last week's episode, Book of the Stranger. Instagram user Haynes1213 says, love the reunion and watching Sansa finally get some direction and stand up for herself. Plus, as always, I love any scene that lets us look at Kit Harington. I mean, I can't argue with you. So.
No.
True.
No, not at all. Yeah.
My pick for best tweet of the night is from Twitter user SchizoEclectic, who says, we must pay for bringing Jon Snow back with losing multiple characters every week. Hashtag harsh truths.
Who is that?
Twitter user at SchizoEclectic. I retweeted it. Go look at it.
Nice.
That is, that's
yes.
for sure. That's my pick for
shout
tweet
out
of the
to
night.
SchizoEclectic.
All yeah.
right, cool. So, yeah, start tweeting us about the episodes. Please let us know your feedback. Tweet us. You know, like, not don't only just hashtag Game of Thrones, but hashtag VRO Brancy or hashtag the VRO.
Mm-hmm.
And then put, you know, Game of Thrones recap or, you know, whatever. But hashtag us or mention us and tweet it out. And that way we can kind of go through it and pick our tweet of the night. Maybe you'll win something. I don't
yeah,
know what
should,
you would win.
We should start doing that. Like tweet of the night. That's the thing now.
Yeah.
We've just decided.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to put you in charge of that because I don't ever look at my Twitter account.
Okay.
I think I forgot my login.
I can handle that. It's all good. But one last thing, we did have something from Mike, who is another host who does some shows. He has not been able to do the Game of Thrones recaps this season, but he did send mm-hmm. me some thoughts for this episode. He says,
okay.
Sansa was great in last night's episode, but those last 10 minutes quickly made me forget everything that happened. Epic episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hold on, let me catch my breath. My chest hurts. I really wanted to start this review of how badass Sansa is, but those last few minutes. Oh my God, my gentle giant, my summer. My chest still hurts. Best episode this season.
Yep. Well, thank you. That was from Mike the Movie Guy, who is a host on our show as well as on his own show. Mike, and you can find him at Mike the Movie Guy. He's awesome. They do Brancy and Mike do Walking Dead episode that always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And we do other shows too. We don't just do Game of Thrones. Check out the website. We are on iPod. We are on iPod. We are on iTunes. We're on Audio Boom. We actually just got featured on Audio Boom for a band interview with Jimmy Eat World. One of our other co-hosts, Ashley, did a wonderful interview on Jimmy Eat World. So we do all sorts of stuff. And I'm super excited that we're going to have a second season of The X-Files.
Yes! I'm so happy.
That Brancy and I are calling. We're going to do it.
Yes. I'm here for it. I'm ready. Yeah. Love The X-Files.
Right. So I know you guys have been listening to us for almost 2 hours. I apologize. Brancy, are you here next week or are you down at Wizard World? Are we going to have to postpone an episode?
At this point next week, I will be in North Carolina chilling with Amy, fearless leader.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not go on the internet until she gets me access to HBO because I will have to watch the episode. I can't not. So we will probably be able to do next week's on time. It's the week after. We may have to push a little bit.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I think I am exhausted. I cannot spew any more words.
I know. I've hit my limit. My character limit has been hit. But we did like this week being able to interact a little bit more with some other fans other than us just talking at each other. So we appreciate everybody who left a comment or tweeted, and thank Mike for leaving a Good Shows review on the Good Shows app. That's where we got his thoughts on the episode, and Rochelle for joining us tonight. So if you want to do that, if you want to leave your thoughts, or if you want to just come on, by all means, let us know. We're not hard to find.
Okay. All right, guys. I got to go pass out. My heart hurts.
Yes. As Mike would say, my chest hurts. I'm exhausted, but thank you guys for joining. And if you listen to this whole thing, you are a trooper and a true fan. So thank you.
Yes. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. We'll see you guys next week.